You know, this is the, I guess, third time we've done a big restoration project at Arrowhead. So about every 10 years we've done one, starting in 98. We did a big one and I was in the field then, coming into the office.
Mm-hmm.
And actually was the bid and was the project manager on the one we did in 2009. And then now we're doing, you know, this one in 19. So each one of them was a little bit different, I guess. And how it all was put together and how we got the job. So
was different each time.
It was different each time.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was gonna, it's a long time span. So I was going to ask, you know, my first question was like, did it, how much did it help being the contractor that had worked on the previous job or two jobs? Like, did that play a big role, or was it kind of, you know, helpful but not? I mean, were you dealing with the same people, I guess?
Right. So, yeah, the one in 2009, it was helpful. We knew, so from the large job we did in 98 up till that time, we after the first big project got over in 98, we started doing maintenance work for them every year. And basically they would give us a chunk of money to work time material against every summer. And so for, you know, 10 or 12 years or whatever that span was, we were always in there working. And, you know, if they ever had a leak or anything came up, you know, we were always there to do their work. So as the project was developing in 2007 and 8, leading up to the bidding in 2009, we were able to go in there and do quite a few studies with the engineer of record. We did, you know, concrete coring, we did testing, we did sample installations of materials they were wanting to use, and then testing of their effectiveness. So, you know, that did help us. It was still at that time, the stadium operations were run by the county. So,
yeah,
you know, it was a very public, I guess, bid process. But, you know, because we had that relationship with them, we actually were able to qualify our bid and, you know, do some things to make ourselves more competitive to get that project. And it just,
sure.
You know, helped us, I guess, remain their contractor of choice from then up till this year. And, you know, the way that the stadium has been maintained from 2009 until now is under a different, I guess, contract. Basically, the county gave the Chiefs and the Royals the control of maintenance. So, even though it's a publicly owned facility, they have a little more leeway, I guess, in how they can do business. Now, they still have, you know, a set of rules that they have to follow, but they're, I think, a little loosely put together.
And, yeah.
You know, they have the ability to negotiate to a certain degree. So this last time around, you know, I think we were in a little better position because just we have worked out there for 20 years every year. And even though they did have to get bids because it was a large project, we were able to get the job even though we weren't low bid through, you know, some negotiations after the fact of bidding. So that was very helpful.
Yeah, it's kind of like it seems like when that in charge of the projects, when I went from like the county or city, whatever, to the people, you know, the people working at these sports teams, it's kind of like, even if they weren't there at the beginning of those earlier projects, it's like they have a little more heart invested in the stadium and all that, so they can maybe appreciate the history of the work a little more than maybe the city would.
The stadiums are kind of their own, you know, animal. Everything about them is different and harder to do work in. And, you know, for us, it's just been key to have those maintenance type jobs and contracts with them, because they're going to do every stadium out there, I would imagine, you know, in every off season is going to be doing some kind of work, you know, and usually those jobs are smaller a lot of times just because of the nature of stadiums and leaks and things, their time material. So if, you know, and this goes for other branches too that have been successful, if they can get in there with those facility managers, and a lot of times that work is negotiated or just given, you know, to a certain contractor. If they can get in there and develop a, you know, a rapport and a relationship and understand the people that they're dealing with and how work gets done inside the stadium, whenever the big job does come around, which is typically has to be bid, it gives us a huge advantage.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
it's almost
work.
Yeah. You obviously have to get that, or maybe not always, almost all the time. You got to get that big job to then get the maintenance work and contracts. But it's like almost, I didn't want to say that the second, you know, the maintenance projects are almost more important, but that's like kind of maybe a spot that a new branch with stadium work could maybe overlook. That's really important, is to kind of, you got to make sure you're giving those smaller projects that come after the first one and maintenance work that are kind of sometimes maybe annoying, you got to give them your full effort to maintain that relationship. Is that kind of, am I right,
right
when I'm doing that?
Yeah. I mean, I would think if you're not in with the stadium now, they're definitely doing work at some level, you know, in those small areas. If you can get your foot in the door, then that is definitely going to give you an advantage and lead to other opportunities. So,
yeah. You mentioned the facility manager and getting close with him. Is that, that kind of leads me into the next section, and that is kind of like who with the same jobs, who are you hearing about the job from first? Is it that facility manager? Does it depend on if the job is large or small? Like you said, the small ones are really coming from those facility managers most of the time, but is that the same case for the larger jobs, or is there kind of an engineer or GC, or kind of what's, when there's a big job, who's the first person that tells you about it, I guess? In your experience?
Well, and typically in the past anyways, it's been the facilities manager, because we're there working with them. So a lot of times we're able to be involved in early on in like developing of the spec and picking out of materials. And then, you know, typically the engineer is going to want to do some type of destructive testing or sampling, you know, of certain things in the stadium. And so they need contractors to do that. And because we're already there doing repairs, we've always been able to be involved in that process.
Yeah.
So like the job that we just got this year at Arrowhead, the engineer wanted to use a new type of product over the sealant joints that Sika has that nobody has ever used before, even Sika themselves, in this type of situation. So before the job was even drawn up and went out to bid, we were able to do a mock-up. So, you know, that helped us out a lot, you know, being able to do that before the job even bid and work through some of the kinks and then understand the process and have some idea of production. So
that helps you not only be more competitive, but also be profitable on the job.
Right, exactly.
And so I guess maybe switching gears a little bit here, but like, what would you recommend for whether it's a branch, a project manager, a branch as a whole, or just a business development person, like if they have not been doing stadium work in the past. Like, they don't have that reference, like, you know, we have at Arrowhead. Is it, do you have any insight on the what, how they might get started? Like, I don't know the other projects that you've been involved in, but I mean, have you had, I guess, have you had some stadium projects in your time, or you, you know, were not coming from that basically angle of having the history with the customer in the stadium?
Mm-hmm. So I guess it was like we had a similar situation in Brown Stadium last year. You know, there was a big job bid there that the Cleveland branch got, and it was a very good job for them. And we, while we weren't doing the maintenance work at the time, but we had a project manager who had worked for the company that was doing the maintenance work, mm-hmm. and whose dad was a foreman on that crew. And so we had you know, a lot of good inside information through him that helped us out in the job. So I guess I would say, you know, to get the larger job, so I guess I would say, you know, if you can get your foot in the door to do that, the smaller maintenance type work, I think that's a huge, you know, benefit. And understanding how they contract that work is important too, because I think, you know, every stadium may have a little different process. But just because it's a city-owned or a county or a public facility, we shouldn't assume necessarily that it's that type of work is always bid, because, you know, a lot of times it isn't. So
yeah, like that public work kind of comes with a negative stereotype here, and that you're saying that that might be a little bit of a stereotype on our part.
Right. I mean, sometimes it is, and yeah, I mean, sometimes it is, and, you know, they're going to bid, you know, every single $2,000, you know, silly little repair everywhere because that's their policy, and then you're just, you know, wasting your time. But, you know, in some situations or a lot, they have, you know, like up to $25,000 or whatever that they can give the contractors and not have to bid it out. And, you know, that there are some opportunities there, you know, if that's the case. So
yeah, and those, and that seems kind of like the theme of the conversation there, is that those, especially with stadiums, those $2,500, $25,000, whatever jobs are really worth it, even more than your average maybe office building or, you know, property. They're more important almost with these stadiums, because that's seems to be the key, the what the relationship hinges on almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And once you get your foot in the door and they, you know, see you as a resource to solve their problems, I mean, because those people are always just very, very busy people. So, you know, if they can find a resource that gives them the solution, they usually go back to them again and again and again. So
yeah. And that's kind of, if I feel like if you don't have a relationship with, you know, if you're a branch sitting here listening to this and you don't have a relationship with a stadium, you know, that's during those tiny little jobs, you know, that are under his threshold that he can prove, that's kind of where that's really good grounds for building a relationship, because you kind of get to spend that time together, and, you know, that's kind of, it's a lot more personal almost than a huge job they could spit out and have all these, you know, hoops to go through, I feel like.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
So maybe, like, if we were to kind of narrow it down to a couple specific tips, it seems like almost if a person was trying to get stadium jobs and not having luck, I feel like it might be a pretty good move to maybe stop focusing on finding the huge stadium jobs and start looking for these, you know, somehow a way to get in with these smaller jobs and start focusing on how you can just get in the door and land one, you know, or get in the conversation for these kind of facility manager specific jobs. Because I mean, I feel like once a Western person has a relationship with the customer, that's a common theme of talking about those $2,500 jobs, you know, here and there. But it's like, you don't hear about that many Western people like seeking those out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I don't know. I feel like that's, if you were struggling to find stadium, maybe that's a little stadium work that would be, maybe somebody could switch it up and see it. But
right.
And then if they were
stadium jobs are usually pretty intimidating because, you know, they're difficult place to work, and there always are very tight time frames, you know, in the off seasons to deal with. So there's a lot of risk in them. So,
yeah,
you know, unfortunately comes with the territory. Yeah. But it also has helped us be successful at it. So.
For sure. Barrier to entry is higher for contractors.
Yep.
But yeah, I was down in Dallas for either that high school football stadium where it was just a mess. It was like some $60 million high school football stadium, and it then rained for like 3 months straight, and it was all over the news, and I don't know. It was not we were all over the news, but the whole project was just an absolute nightmare.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it sounds like the facility manager is the person to focus on as well. Is that like, I mean, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but how, like, if you, like, for finding out who, you know, if I'm going to a college or, I guess, NFL stadium in my city, but, like, do you just go online and can you figure out who the facility manager is at the stadium, or how do you know any idea on how to just even identify who the right person is to talk to?
You know, that's a good question. I know that, you know, especially, you know, at a big facility, those people are probably pretty difficult to get in touch with.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I know that we do spend a lot of time at, like, the stadium managers' meetings. So I don't know if somehow through that and our involvement in that association, if we have contact, you know, lists available to us or ways we can get in touch with those people. But, you know, I think there are, you know, that can be tough, especially at the bigger facilities. So I guess that's what our marketing people are good at.
Yep,
I don't have a good answer for that, but
gotcha.
Yeah, I think it can be tough. So there's a lot of doorkeepers.
Have you done, what would the ratio in your career of stadium work has been, you know, professional teams, almost kind of where it's usually owned by the city or state or whatever, versus college teams where maybe it's owned, you know, like a private college. Like, have you done both, and are there differences in how you'd approach winning those jobs or getting them or even finding out about them, or how would you
do that? Yeah, it depends. You know, we've done both the colleges and professional. Some of the colleges, the stadiums are actually run and managed by the athletic association. So like at KU, the KU Athletic Association manages and maintains the football stadium. So there's private money involved, and they, you know, have a little more latitude there with what work is done as well. But that's not always the case. But, you know, we've been pretty successful at KU Memorial Stadium, their football stadium, too, and been able to negotiate work because of that. So,
yeah, I think colleges represent a pretty good opportunity in the stadium-specific market if you're really focusing in on that, just because we have so many other buildings, obviously, on the campus. So you have so many more opportunities just to get in the door, mm-hmm. and then work your way to a stadium project. Whereas with like an NFL stadium, you know, it's not like it's just a stadium. Whereas at, you know, at TCU is one of the Dallas branch's best customers, and we probably touched almost every building on that campus, and it took, you know, we did probably 40 projects before we even looked at a stadium project for them. But then, you know, we had got that relationship, kind of like you said, a lot of those small jobs. And then when their stadium work came, you know, it was like, hey, we do that too. And the job went really well. And we, you know, worked on pretty much all their other sports stadiums as well. You know, it started with football, but we touched the, you know, baseball and soccer, you know, every kind of building there. So it's right. kind of, I feel like, and there's obviously a lot more colleges than pro stadiums.
Yeah, and a lot of times those facilities are older too, it seems like. So, you know, in the NFL and the major leagues, there's a stadium gets 20, 30 years old. They seem like they knock them down and build a new one just because the trends are different and they want new facilities and they have the money. But a lot of college facilities out there are old. So,
yeah,
there's a lot of opportunity there.
I guess my last two questions here is that they're at the bottom here. It said, for any of your stadium projects, was there anything that you would have done differently that you didn't do at the time? I'm not sure about that one. I don't know if something pops in your head, then let's definitely hear it. But I feel like we've covered it a lot. I feel like this last question is maybe, the last question is kind of what marketing materials do you think would have been helpful in the past and would be helpful going in the future? Like you said, you've mentioned that stadium work is a lot different than other work, and kind of getting these jobs also there's some uniqueness there as well. So is there mm-hmm. does that mean that the marketing materials need to kind of be more unique and specific for stadiums, or kind of what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that would be very helpful if we did have, you know, stadium specific marketing information, you know, and reference list to show, you know, how many different stadiums that we have worked in across the country would be very helpful.
Yeah, that's the portfolio of stadiums is very impressive and cool. That is something we are working on right now. Gathering all that stuff up. But what specific stadium, like when you say specific stadium marketing materials would be helpful, what kind of areas do you think the marketing should touch on in terms of, and then do you think it needs to be kind of like a standard, you know, inspection checklist and visual guide? Like we do a lot of those, and you could definitely make that a little stadium specific, but is there anything, I guess that's sort of the obvious marketing material. Is there anything, any nuances or tweaks or different types of marketing materials that you think would be useful? I guess what I'm saying is that we are making a stadium checklist with the concrete, and we're kind of modeling it off of our old one, but updating it. So that updated marketing material is coming. So I guess driving to see if we can think of anything else, or if you think of any, you know, specific additions for a stadium inspection guide that we don't usually include. I'm looking at the old one right now.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen that one. But, you know, I think probably the majority of the stadiums anymore, except for your older ones, are all precast. Mm-hmm. And they're all built very similar. And they all have the same kinds of problems.
Yeah.
So, you know, that might be something we could focus on. You know, the older ones usually are cast in place, and they're usually built the same way. So they kind of have the same problems too. But, you know, the newer ones are at least every other every newer type stadium I've seen have all been precast, and they kind of all, after about 8 or 10 years, they all start having the same problems and leaks that is, you know, standard across the board.
But that's kind of, you guys, in the 8 or 10 years, that was kind of something I was thinking about. It's almost like, you know, you think a marketing piece would be helpful in terms of like maybe educating them on some of these types of materials and like their typical life expectancy and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And kind of using that to, you know, combining that with their history and kind of, you know, creating a sort of a schedule for, you know, when they need to be, you know, inspecting them closer, than almost anticipating, you know, hey, we're probably gonna have to spend some money on this in 5 years or 3 years or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah, I think that would be good. You know, those precast stadiums, they all have a lot of caulking, and they're big structures, so they always have a lot of expansion joints too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the two areas where they start having problems at first, and those materials and expansion joint systems usually are going to start failing in that 8 to 10 year, you know, time period.
Yeah.
Maybe even sooner. So.
Yeah. And so do you think that a lot of the time stadiums are maybe missing the warning signs with the caulking and sealants and not realizing those problems until the concrete starts showing signs of deterioration? And like,
mm-hmm.
they could obviously benefit from catching those earlier signs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because concrete repair in a stadium is expensive. It's always access issues, and I mean, it's a pain. So, you know, you usually see unit prices double or more of what you see like in a garage.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely in their best interest to not let it get to that point.
All right. Well, anything else? Any other tips or advice you have? Any parting thoughts for the person listening that is striking out on stadiums right now? Or do you think we covered it mostly?
No, I don't think so. I think there's, you know, quite a few people in the company that have done a lot of stadium work. So, you know, if they have
if you are striking
project,
out, there are definitely resources that could reach out to you.
Right. Or if they have one that they're looking at, you know, definitely there's some help out there. So,
well, cool. Well, thanks, Matt.